Good morning to all of you. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. There's nothing wrong with those out running. Well, there might be something wrong with them, but I'm glad you're here, we're here, and most importantly, the Spirit of the Lord is here, and we are going to go into His Word. Aaron's already prayed, and so we're just going to jump in. The title of the message this morning is One and Done. One and Done. I don't know how many of you watch March Madness, college basketball, and there's a lot of talk during March Madness about one and done. In fact, our own hometown team, the Gonzaga Bulldogs, had their first one-and-done player this year, and that's when a freshman comes straight out of high school and plays 1 year in college and then makes the hopeful jump to the NBA. I was allowed to talk about one-and-done. And then I was, about a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to, there was an advertisement on television, I believe it was television, and it was Gus Johnson Ford. And he said, there's only one word after my name, and that's Ford. And the premise of the advertisement is that if you just focus on one thing, you tend to do it better. I think he was taking a dig on all these dealerships that sell five or six different brands. There's only one thing. Focus on one. The world we live in today is a world of plurality. There's so many choices. Every time you go to the grocery store, I just want to buy peanut butter. I don't care about natural, crunchy, this thing, that thing, low sugar, low fat. Just give me peanut butter, I'll be fine. Way too many choices. I remember growing up, and fortunately we only had one television station. And it was only on for 5 hours a night. Came on at 6 and went off at 11. Just one, simpler times. And the best thing, it was free. We didn't have to pay anything. Now you got to pay an arm and a leg for all the choices, 90% of which you never watch. Gone are the days when people graduated high school or college and took a job and, you know, stayed there for the most part, for their whole career. Now they say a person graduating from college this year would have between 9 and 13 different jobs during their work career. It's just a different time. Gone are the days when it was the norm. Of course, there were the exceptions where two people fell in love and they got married, and that was it. It was little more than just a contract to stay with while things were good. Gone are those days. Nowadays, we live in a world of plurality where more is always, well, more people think that more is always better. But we're going to look in the Word of God this morning and see why one is so important to the kingdom of God. Amen? And the first point we're going to look at is that there is only one God. One God. The Bible says, we all know Genesis 1:1, right? In the beginning, God. It all starts with God, one God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. One God. And we know that the one God is embodied in three distinct persons. That does not mean that there are three gods. So let's not confuse ourselves. That also does not mean that we can understand with these natural earthly minds how in the world one God can be in three persons. Because if we could understand it with our minds, we would be God instead of God being God. Amen? And that was one of the tricks that the enemy used way back from the beginning. Said, if you did this, you will be like God and you'll be able to understand him. That hasn't changed. Today, we're still trying to understand God. We will not. Let's give up. And just accept what he says by faith and because he says it. Amen? So, yeah, O Lord, yeah, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Mark chapter number 12, from verse 29 through verse 32. Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second like it is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he. One God, and that's who we serve. Why have people all through the years been searching and seeking for something other than the God that we serve, who's all sufficient? One of the reasons that it was important to stress that God himself had to stress that he's the only God was that the society, the nations around them worshipped a lot of other gods. They had a plurality of gods. The same thing exists in our life today, that there are places and people who subscribe to this notion that there are many gods. And so it's important for us as believers in the one and only true God to know what we believe and why we believe it and to stand on that fact by faith that our God is the only true and living God. That does not make us self-centered, that does not make us exclusive. Well, it might. Because we know what we believe and why we believe it. And good thing about our God is that he still accepts anyone who comes to him by faith. Amen? He's not exclusive that way. So Jesus himself spoke the truth that God is one. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One God and Father of all. He's the creator. He's there in creation of all that was, that is, and that is to come. He's the Father of all. He's in us, and through him we can do all things. So our first point is that there is only one God, one true God. Are you with me this morning? Second point is that there is only one Savior. One Savior. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That sounds pretty straightforward to me. One Savior that God provided sent his only begotten Son, that through his sacrificial suffering and death and glorious resurrection, we might be reconciled to him where the fellowship had been broken because of sin. Today, people are still looking and seeking for other ways to the Savior other than what he has provided through Jesus Christ. And people get offended when you tell them that Jesus is the only way. How can there be one way? Well, because that's the way it is. Why do we drive on the right side of the street or in one direction on a one-way street? Because that's the way it is. God has provided this way, and the scripture tells us that there is none other name under heaven whereby we might be saved. So let's stop looking. There's no other choices on this one. We will look and look and look, and we will never find, because there does not exist another mediator between God and man other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's one God. There's one Savior. We'll just talk about one way. Our next point is one way. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. One way. Man has always been seeking a way to the Father. And God has provided that way. The scripture tells us that broad is the way that leads to destruction. And narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. What do we want? What makes us comfortable? We want to be with the crowd. We want to be where is busy. We want to be on the broad and wide, expansive path. We don't want anything that even tends to make us feel the least bit uncomfortable. We don't want any bumps. We don't want any zigzags. We want the straight, smooth path. God has provided a way. Jesus said, I am the way. Not one way. Not one of many ways. One way that leads us to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. He himself said it. And it helps us to believe that. So we have one God, we have one Savior, we have one way. Next point is we have one word. One word. Psalms 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. For those of you that have never read Psalms 119 in its entirety, I encourage you to do so. It's a long one. It's the longest psalm. But every verse in that psalm talks about the word. It uses different words. Some verses will have testimonies, precepts, word, commandments. But every single verse talks about the word of God and how relevant and how important it is to our lives. Psalms 138 and verse 2. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus, God, and his Word are one. He reveals himself to us through his Word. We were studying in a Sunday morning workout this morning. We were talking about the Word, and Peter was talking about the prophets that were coming and that had prophesied, and warning us that if any prophecy came or any word came that was contrary to what God's word says, we shouldn't listen to it. God will never contradict his word. No matter who says what, our standard is this. He said we should test the spirits. His word is forever settled in heaven. He has magnified his word above all his name. That's how important the word is. So no matter who comes with another word, we have all these people who have come down through the centuries. They started with the word of God, but somehow they went askew and decided that, well, they had a little, slightly different revelation. So they had a new revelation, and they put it into all these books. And a lot of these organizations, churches, religions, whatever you want to call them, they claim to still believe the Bible, but they put much more weight on these new revelations and have watered down and disregarded the true word of God. God has given us his spirit that lives within us. And if we ask him, his spirit is able to teach us and make his word come alive in our hearts. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. There's nothing wrong with going to school and learning about the Bible and all of that, but that minus the spirit is worthless. That plus the Spirit, great. Amen? I always say knowing a lot of the Word of God without knowing God himself is dangerous. People spend their whole lifetime studying the Bible but don't know the God that it speaks about. Don't want to know. They just want the head knowledge without the heart. One word. John chapter 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them by your truth. So the word is profitable for our sanctification. What does the Bible say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Now, I know a lot of you don't do this anymore. You got your Bibles on your phone and tablets. That's okay, too. I'm just kind of old-fashioned. Well, I'm just old, period. Your word is truth. And that just takes us into our next point. So we got one God, one Savior, one way, one word, one truth. That's a hard one in the society in which we live today. We just heard John 17:17, sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. One truth. There can only be one truth. Right? A famous jurist once said, there's three sides to every story. Your side, my side, and the truth. Which is usually different from your side or my side, right? One truth. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Just as God is bound up in his word, he's bound up in truth. Because we just heard in John, your word is truth. So you can't separate the word from truth because the word is what? Truth. Amen? So everything that's contrary to the word is what? A lie. And we know who the great liar and the father of lies is, right? Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. I love that. He's the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. Again, God is truth. His word is truth. We cannot separate the two. Amen? Let's stop trying. Psalm 119:142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Psalm 119:151. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Verse 160, the same chapter. The entirety of your word is truth. I like that. The entirety of your word is truth. Even the parts we don't like and the parts we may not agree with. I wish I had the candle here with the paper like Pastor Jim uses. Even the parts we may not agree with, even the parts that may be difficult to understand. The entirety of your word is truth. And every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Again, judgments, testimonies is one of the other words they use for the word in this chapter. So the entirety of the word is truth. God is wrapped up in his word. And he will not contradict his word. So any word that comes that's in contradiction to the word of God cannot be the truth. Pure and simple. And we're bombarded in the world in which we live today that tells us that, oh no, there's no such thing as the truth. Our kids leave high school, or even in high school, before they even get to college. They're bombarded with this relativism, moral relativism, that truth is what you believe. If you believe in your mind that is truth, then it's truth. Well, no, that's not true. I believed in my mind really that I was going exactly 60 miles per hour on the freeway. But the trooper's radar gun said I was going 78. Guess what the truth is? Not what I believed, but what the reality was. You see, it doesn't matter what our minds tell us because our minds will lead us astray. Truth is not what you think it is. Truth is absolute, and truth is wrapped up in God and His Word. And until we get that down, we will be like the Bible says, that we will be tossed to and fro on every wave, and we'll begin to doubt our salvation, and we'll begin to doubt what we stand for. And as soon as we begin to get bombarded, we'll begin to waver in our faith. You see, we got to know what we believe and why we believe it. If you don't stand for anything, you will fall for everything. We have to stand upon the Word of God, which is the truth. It has withstood the test of time. It has withstood the test of time. People have dedicated their entire lives to try to disprove it and to poke holes in it without success. In fact, the more they dig, the more history and archaeology tend to support the account in the Bible. Amen. John chapter 8 and verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Your word is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. The word is truth. You get it? They're all wrapped up in one another. You shall know the truth. You shall know the word. You shall know the truth, Jesus Christ. And he shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. Free from the law of sin and death. Free indeed, wrapped up in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Free to serve him. Free to worship him. Free from the shackles of sin and destruction. Because he's bought our freedom with a high price. It's free to us, but it was costly to him. The truth shall make you free. So we talk about one truth, one God, one Savior, one way, one word, one truth, one purpose. One purpose. How many of you know that God saved you for a purpose? Amen. It's not that he was sitting twiddling his thumbs and had nothing better to do. It's all part of his grand plan. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. The King James says, for this is the whole duty of man. When all is said and done, what does it boil down to? Fear God and keep his commandments. And we read the passage earlier when one of the smart people of the day tried to question Jesus, one of the scribes, right? What are the commandments? The first is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. In these two wrapped up all of the law and the commandments. Amen? Because if you love your neighbor as yourself, chances are you don't go kill him. Normally, you don't kill people that you love, right? You don't gossip about him. You don't go steal from him or her. All the commandments are wrapped up in these. So what's Solomon, who Pastor Jim read about Solomon and why he asked God for wisdom? God said, because you haven't asked for riches or anything, I would make you wise because you asked for wisdom, but I will also make you rich. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's our purpose. That's what he's called us for. to love him, to serve him, and to love others and serve others. This is man's all. Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 8 and ending at verse 13. Paul speaking here, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, verse 13, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. One thing I do, I keep my mind and my heart tuned and focused on God and his purposes and his calling for my life. Because I know my purpose is to attain the crown of life which comes at the end. Yes, we're running a race, but everyone that reaches the end is a victor. Everyone that overcomes all the obstacles and all the pitfalls and all the potholes and every obstacle that the enemy places before us and endures to the end is a victor. But what do we have to do? One thing, Paul said. One thing I do. I forget those things that are behind. I forget all the failures I've had before. I forget all the stuff I've done that I'm not proud of anymore. I forget everything I may have attained in life. I forget all the riches I may have had, all the education I may have, everything that is about me. I count it as rubbish. Why? Because I got my eyes on the prize. I got my focus on the kingdom. Everything else around here is nonsense. Yes, we got to go through the process. Yes, we may have to suffer some disappointments. Yes, we may have to suffer some setbacks. But I still got only one purpose in mind, and that is to fulfill the calling of my Lord and Savior. Because I've been bought with a price. I no longer belong to myself. He saved me and called me for a purpose. So I press on. No matter what tries to pull me back, I press on. I may stumble and fall, but I get up again, I dust myself off, and I press on. Others may try to hold me back, I'll shove them off, and I'll press on. Yeah, sometimes I may take two steps backward, but I still take one more step forward. I continue to press on. Press on. Press on. Press on. Look ahead. Salvation is near. God has saved you for a purpose. Reaching forward to those things which are ahead. One purpose. And finally, one end. One end. got one God, one Savior, one way, one word, one truth, one purpose, one end. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Choose, this tells us, as a choice. We all are going to come to an end of this mortal life someday. And what happens at that juncture depends on the choice that we make today. Amen? We can set the path for our own destiny and guarantee that we will get to live on in eternal life in the presence of our Lord and Savior. It's a choice. But we got to realize that there's only one way to choose that path. Again, we talk about one way, one truth, right? One Savior. There is salvation found in no other but Jesus Christ. Yes, if we're looking for it somewhere else, we're on the wrong path. We're on the wrong path. I ask the worship team to come up. We're on the wrong path. Choose life. Choose eternal life, that both you and your descendants may live. It's a choice. You hear people nowadays, oh, how can your God be a loving God and condemn people to eternal destruction? No, no, no. People choose. People choose death instead of life. People choose cursing instead of blessing. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 through 28. And as it is appointed for men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. It's appointed unto men once to die. We all have an appointment at some point. The choices we make now will determine our destiny when we reach that point. Choose life. Choose the one way that leads to eternal life. There's not many, there's only one. But it's a choice that we have to make. Yes, the world around us tells us that, this exclusivity thing, you know, how can you exclude all the other people? No, we're not excluding anybody. We're just telling them, come join us. Come join us on this journey to eternal life. Don't get left behind. Don't miss the opportunities that God is giving us to make things right with him. Some of us stretched him to the limit. I think he used all his lifelines on us. But finally, we made that decision. Make the choice today. One God, one Savior, one way, one word, one truth, one purpose, one end. May the end for all of us be a glorious life in eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you. Now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the appointed day of salvation. If you're here this morning, you've not made a commitment to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior of your life, we don't want you to leave here without doing so. We're here to pray with you and make sure that's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. You've been looking, stop looking. God has a plan for you. And if you're here this morning, you've already accepted Jesus Christ, but you've been bombarded left and right with the things and the choices that we have in this society, and you're beginning to doubt your salvation. You're beginning to doubt this whole thing called my relationship with God. Don't go there. It's a dangerous place to be. God has a plan for you. He saved you for a reason. And he's with you every step of the way. Even when you don't feel his presence, he's there. He said in his word, he will never leave us nor forsake us. Yes, it's true. Sometimes we wish he'd go away. But he will never contradict his word. He's there with us when we go through the fire. He's there with us when we go through stuff in our lives. We just need to trust him. We just need to believe what he says in his word and stand upon that. So when the waves come and the storms come, we will remain standing and not be carried away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice that's here, Lord. Father, you know us better than we know ourselves. We just commit everyone individually before you this morning. Lord, for those that are still seeking, we pray you will reveal yourself. Your word says, if we seek you, we will find you. Reveal more of yourself, your plan, your love, your purposes to us, Lord. Father, every trick of the enemy that's devised against your people for this, to prevent us from reaching where you have us to reach, Lord, we destroy now with the blood of Jesus. And we speak victory in every battle that the enemy is going to bring before us, even this week, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, we pray, Lord, that you will arise and all the enemies will be defeated in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, arise in our lives, arise in our homes, arise in our families, arise in our jobs. Oh Lord, you are victorious, and we claim victory this morning because of who you are, not because of what we've done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your assurance of eternal life this morning. Thank you for your assurance of salvation this morning. Thank you that you've given us your word that we can stand upon, Lord, and be grounded in you, Lord. And we just thank you this morning. Dismiss us now with your blessing. May your sweet Holy Spirit continually abide with us and in us till we meet again. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed. Amen.